Welcome to episode 75 of MX Surf Features. My name is Kevin.
I'm Karen.
I'm Simon.
Bob the intern.
And Dan.
It's been a while.
I apologize. I had a little emergency last time we were supposed to record.
Yep, Simon didn't make it to the bathroom in time.
Yeah, that was it. You guys got me. I was climbing up the stairs.
It was a bad car ride.
Yeah.
Bad car ride.
Messy seats and everything.
That happens, man.
Yeah.
Nice guys, Bob, to help me clean up.
He is the intern.
Yeah.
He has something to do. He had a light week of movie
watching. So, are you feeling okay now?
I'm feeling much better.
Your intestinal disorders are all under control now?
I found butt plug works well.
Oh, okay. That's cool. What do you use, like,
wadded up toilet paper? Yeah, that's really it, actually.
Yeah, like a sink plug? Or?
Yeah, a sink plug, toilet paper.
Yeah.
Food Basics carries it all, one-stop shop.
Pocket Rocket.
Pocket Rocket.
There you go.
Oh,
we
descended into hell already.
Yes, it's
Do you know Karen's not feeling very well today?
This would probably make her sick.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's already making me sick. And I'm
Yeah, and you didn't have to ride over with
it
again.
I think Karen's sick because Harry Potter's over.
That's, you know, that could be depressing.
I think that's it. I think that's why she's in depression. That she can no longer dress up as Ron.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about
the end of
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. I think we've all seen this one.
I have not.
You haven't seen
I'm
it?
Way behind in my Harry Potter.
She's upset. I told you she can't even go.
How far
she's
behind
upset.
Are you?
All
I do not want to answer that question.
Oh, come on.
I do not
Are
want to
answer. Two movies behind? Three movies behind?
All of them?
Seven movies behind?
All movies behind?
Oh, how dare you.
You're still on the first book on page one?
No, I've read some of the books and I've seen some of the movies.
So you're reading the book and then the movie after that?
Yes, I have to read the book before I see the movie.
Okay.
So I have a lot on my plate.
So did you read The Help?
I've read The Help, yes.
Oh, okay.
Did it help?
Oh,
well, we'll discuss
I beat
that
him too. What do you want?
We'll discuss that when the help's up for review.
Well, it's coming. I'll see it this weekend.
As will I.
I won't. I'll be seeing Conan this weekend, I think.
So what?
Yeah, in 3D.
No.
Oh, we lost Deb. She's choking on a cherry
comment.
Heimlicher, Heimlicher.
So back to Harry Potter. Did you see it in 3D?
Yeah, I saw it in 3D. We went and saw it in 3D.
Yeah, and actually the 3D wasn't very present. Just here and there.
I thought, well, it didn't distract me like by its absence like it did in some films. So I thought this looked okay. There were a lot of, like, scenes of top battlements and things like that, top of giant gorges.
Was this filmed in 3D or was it a 3D conversion?
No, it was filmed in 3D.
Okay. Then I probably should have seen it. I stopped seeing conversion films.
Yeah, this is not a conversion film.
Okay.
I saw it in 2D.
So not?
Anything to save a buck.
Free, right?
He needed popcorn money.
I needed popcorn money.
On Tuesday, it's less than the cost of going to see a regular movie.
Normally go on Tuesday, but this was Harry Potter, so.
So Bob splurged and went to the Sunday morning 6:50 show at AMC.
6:50 in the morning?
Before 12, yeah.
Wow. He's in training for the Toronto International Film Festival.
Woo!
Where he doesn't see any movies either.
Actually, I do.
He does. He sees
I see at least one during the film festival. King's Speech last year, I saw that at the festival.
That was a good one to see.
Yes.
How many more sleeps, Bob?
Okay, well, Bob's bringing this out. Anybody else have anything to say, Harry Potter?
Well, let's do some review. What do you think of it, Simon?
I loved it. I thought it was a fun movie. It's weird reading the book and forgetting half of it, because you know how long ago I read the book? It's like 7 years ago I read this book. I forgot most. I remember bits and pieces of it. At least it was better than the camping movie they had before.
Anything would be better than the camping movie. Educational film strips from second grade would be preferable to the great camping trip.
I could put some films up against that comment.
I like the camping trip. It was okay. I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
And
not
that
crazy.
Is a ringing endorsement.
No, I mean I liked the film. It was a definite downturn in the cycle, and it was pretty depressing. But you had to hit that depressing low before you could. hit the what happens in the seventh movie and then recovers.
I'm absolutely 100% agreed with you. I'm not saying they didn't have to do the camping movie to get to some excitement, but this movie is excellent.
Yeah, like, I will agree with you. It is a really great action movie, and I liked that they had cameos from all the other movies. Everybody, I think, except Kenneth Branagh.
He was busy. He's counting some coin or something.
Making Thor.
Is he making Thor? Is that why he couldn't do this?
Okay.
I'm just going to say, didn't we have Deb's birthday already? Did we miss Deb's birthday?
It's back in April, yeah.
Did she get her mic?
No. I'll have to buy a mic.
Oh, okay, great.
Next time.
Fantastic. Make life so much easier. I don't know. I thought this was really good.
No, maybe it won't make life easier.
No, well.
I don't know.
I just want to say I thought this was a good wrap up to the films. Like, I thought I was happy. The only part I really had any issue with was the ending. I just think it didn't look right to me. They didn't look old enough.
They aged them and all that stuff.
Yeah, they didn't look old.
It's the ending from the book.
No, I realized it was the ending from the book. My argument isn't the ending. They didn't look right. The characters.
Well, they're saying they said it's what 17 years later or something.
Yeah,
they didn't look 17 years older.
Well, Tom Felton looked like they put some baby powder in his face and sent them out.
Put it, you know, it's like going to High School Musicals. Put a little, why is he like this? And you put a little felt mustache on your, and make you look older. But they each
didn't define who he was.
And, you know, I do think that the value of the last scene is just that it brings everything full circle. The three main characters met as children starting their education at Hogwarts, and now they come back as parents to send their own children off for their first year. I mean, from that point of view, the scene needed to be there. But you're right, the graphics are weird.
I agree.
Intern, what do you think?
Well, I agree with you on the last scene. They didn't look old enough, but overall, the movie was terrific. Like, terrific way to end it. There was action. There was whatever else in it. It was good.
But you see, I was heartbroken over the death of Dobby in the previous one. And I really colored my love of this one, knowing that there's no Dobby.
Was there no Dobby?
No Dobby. Please, Deb's not going to be able to choke again. She's eating, people. Be careful.
Harry Potter gave me a grave. No, it was not good. It was not, you know, it was just... It starts off on the hillside. It's a, you know, beautiful morning spot. Looking over the sea.
Where did Creature go, though? He was there and he's gone.
Creature. Screw Creature.
No.
He's just the loosest piece of
Creature.
Where does Harry Potter live now? Does he live with Creature, or does he bang at Hermione? No. Jenny Weasley somewhere else?
He's not banging Hermione.
Jenny Weasley, sorry.
Hermione and Ron are married.
Whatever.
You're awful.
Where are they living?
How can you make me say something like that on the air?
Say what?
Bang Hermione.
Oh, Ron obviously is.
Is that the nickname, Miney?
Miney? Hermione?
That's awful. I'm sorry. This is a terrible show.
It's awful. I should be
just
fired.
Thinking. You are. It's degenerating.
I'm tired. What can I say? I had a busy day. I have to clean out the garage.
Ron and Hermione.
Where are the beers?
No beer tonight.
No beer? Intern?
Yes?
Where are the beers?
I don't drink beer.
Fair enough.
Could have brought some for the rest of the class.
Yeah. To drink the hard stuff.
So I have a question. Did anybody know Dobby was played by a woman?
No, wasn't it?
Wait,
I thought it was Toby Jones in the first one. Yeah, it was.
Originally shattered.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Harry Potter's good. Go see it. That's all I'm saying.
It was great. I really liked it.
I like the cup scene when they set them on fire. What's up with Crabbe and Goyle, whatever that other guy ditching?
What do you think of it?
I just thought it was a really good action movie. And because of all the movies in the books that have gone before, you really care about what happens to them. Like, it's not, which is where the Harry Potter series has a great advantage over one and done movies, is that you actually have followed these characters as they've grown up. So you have an emotional stake in what happens to them. which is really nice because that's I think that's very much a lost art in Hollywood. I'm surprised when it's done.
Well, what are you at?
We'll discuss it later.
Okay. Well, you see, that brings up a good point. I mean, you do have a lot invested in these characters and these actors, but what bothers me, I have all six of the special editions, is that it? Of the Harry Potter movies?
I'll tell you when.
Okay. But you know what, really,
it's not what he's looking
at. It's like, this is all these characters had to offer. Their story is done. Now we have to age them 17 years, have an epilogue, and there's nothing more to tell. To me, that just seems, their lives are just beginning. I mean, isn't there more to tell to me? It just seems like, yeah.
I agree with you 100%. It's like when you're watching Spider-Man movies, you know, maybe 3 wasn't that good, but you want a 4.
Yeah.
You want to see what Spider-Man does next. I want to see if Harry goes to the Auras or Hermione goes to thing. I don't really need their relationship. I'm not worried about that part. I want to see what they do. I want to meet more bad guys, more adventures. Like, I enjoyed these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just upsetting it's done.
This is this epic cycle. And actually, it doesn't start out as an epic cycle, really. There's a hint of the Voldemort stuff in the first story.
That's it.
But it's really, you know, more episodic, more like, oh, this is what happens to the kids here, this is their teacher here, this is what life is like at Hogwarts, and stuff like that. So by the time you get to this, I mean, we had a whole movie of them camping, as you said. So this is an entire movie of this final fight, and it all takes place over the course of a day or two. It's not a particularly long period of time. Like, the previous movie, I guess, was over the course of months. This one is over the course of, like, a day or two.
If that.
So it ends on, you know, it's. I think it's actually kind of short-sighted. Why not just have an epilogue? Why wrap it all up and end it all in a bow? Why not just have another cycle of Harry Potter movies when she's ready to go back to the character?
I think she will eventually. I just have a question. Where's Nagini's movie? I think that Snape should have his own movie. Why shouldn't Nagini have his own movie?
Well, the other thing is that we have to, like, remind herself that J.K. Rowling was probably burnt out as hell by the time she got to the end of the seventh book.
Sorry to cut you off. She was burnt out counting her stacks of money in her money room.
It's true. Oh, no, in her money. I'm sure she has a money bin like Scrooge McDuck.
Well,
she just dives around in it all day long.
Well, she's an intern like Bob to count it. Like, she doesn't need to count it.
She has intern has assistants to count it.
That's right.
All right, well, I highly recommend, if you've watched the other six, why not see the seventh one?
I agree.
You know? And if you haven't seen it, then you should probably see the other six.
I will get caught up eventually.
I'm not taking a shot. I'm just saying.
But I will.
If anyone's looking at this list of movies and thinking, I think I haven't seen a Harry Potter movie, I want to see the last one. Don't, because you won't understand what's going on.
That's true.
Yeah, this movie there's no exposition at all. It starts right into it. There's no, you don't know who these characters are, what their relationships are. You have to figure that all out on your own. And if you were to just see this movie standing on its own, you wouldn't be able to perceive that. All right, so, well, the next movie on our list is The Company Men, directed by John Wells. It stars Ben Affleck, Kevin Costner, Tommy Lee Jones, Chris Cooper, Maria Bello, Craig T. Nelson, and Rosemary DeWitt.
I just think I've seen it. That's what I was saying.
Who hasn't seen it? So you guys have seen it? Okay. Well, Karen, what do you think of The Company Men?
I'll be honest, I had high expectations. I mean, you've got Oscar-winning cast in Tommy Lee Jones and Chris Cooper and Ben Affleck. It's a timely story about the recession and how it is affecting people and their families. My problem with it, though, was that the main characters played by Tommy Lee Jones, Ben Affleck, and Chris Cooper, I didn't find them terribly likable, I guess is the word, because I just found there was so much attention put on their wealth and their status and the lifestyle that these guys led. And yes, you know, definitely, you know, the recession is affecting everybody, but they don't become likable when they're complaining that they can't afford their membership at the golf club, whereas if you look at the recession from another standpoint, some people can't afford food. So I just found that a little bit troubling to swallow. Yes, Simon.
Isn't this a movie about redemption, though, for Ben Affleck?
Well, it's better than Daredevil.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, don't get me wrong, I think this movie's a big pile of doo-doo, and I had a nap and was looking for my pillow halfway through it. So don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, we're watching the fall of Ben Affleck being a high profile,
roller, yeah.
A high roller down to nothing, led to the point that he has to go, in his world, do menial labor, and put up drywall and learn to do that. And he doesn't want to be there. And he makes no bones about not wanting to be there.
Which is why I find, you know, he's not grateful for what is given.
I think he is at the end, though. I mean, I'm not. I think he tries to learn.
I wouldn't say redemption. I mean, I think he comes to accept it. I wouldn't say it's redemption, though, really.
Okay, I can accept that.
I really don't.
I mean, overall, I think this movie is boring.
It was the honor.
Have your pillow, because if you're tired, you'll be out within 10 minutes
of
starting this. But I don't know, I just found none of the characters lighter. I mean, the Tommy Lee Jones character was a big fraud, I thought, at the end. Mm-hmm. Like, he leaves his high-powered job because the workers aren't getting enough money, so he started his own company. Really, Tommy Lee? You look like you're in your 60s. You look like you got 6 months left to retire with the package and your stock options. Really? You're going to go off because you're going to go start your own company? Really? Ben Affleck? Yes.
I can see that. The Chris Cooper aspect when he killed himself, sorry, spoiler alert. I mean, I could relate to that in the sense that he was his job, because he had that job, you know, that was his life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are very defined by what they do, and I can definitely relate to that, having had a job for an extended period of time. It's what you do, it's what you love, whatever, and I can definitely relate to that. But at the same time, he was more of the everyman because he was putting his kids through school, and so he had more of a loss other than just what the money was for him, because his was definitely related to what it was going to be like for his children.
So I'm probably having a nap listening to it. Shut up, Simon.
Bob, have you seen it?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I didn't like it. I'll explain why, because, okay, I agree with Karen's opinion on it. Like,
they're not likable?
They're not likable. Ben Affleck's character sort of goes down as the officer, apparently. Anyway. But I found it sort of, like, it was sort of slow, and I didn't enjoy it. Well, I guess you're not supposed to enjoy getting laid off and whatever, but
it's not a feel-good movie.
Right? It's not a feel-good movie. No.
The kind of movie you like.
Right.
There was no singing.
No, but I thought it would be good. Like I enjoyed the scenes between Maria Bello and who? She's married to who?
Maria Bello is having an affair with Tommy Lee Jones.
Uh-huh.
She's the one who fired all his friends.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, then I didn't enjoy the character. Never I'm done. I didn't like it. How about that?
Did you have a nap?
No, they actually used what is called a fast forward.
How are the buttons?
I'm going, look, I'm going, watch. No.
Chad?
I really like this movie. And I'll tell you, I thought it was really interesting. I actually thought it was a fun, it was actually almost a sequel to a film called Boiler Room.
I love Boiler Room. Love that.
So this is Ben Affleck's character a decade later. You know, that young punk who was in there just making money and lecturing everybody else on how to make money and greed and so forth. So he's lived at the top of that greed food chain for a while. And this is payback. This is, reality is caught up with all these people who've been living beyond their means. And it's actually very relevant, I thought, to the last couple of years and looking at how people have overspent and overlived, in a sense, right? And I thought it was interesting to see him representing the everyman, who was a little bit too greedy, a little bit too petty, a little bit too happy with that golf course stuff, the golf club memberships and things like that, and his family having to figure out how to survive in that. You know, I thought, you know, the son giving up the PlayStation or whatever it is, and I thought that was really interesting. I thought that, you know, I didn't find it boring. The Chris Cooper story was kind of boring, it was relevant. It was he that, as you said, the job was his life. And without the job, there was no purpose. And he kept getting brushed off. I mean, here was Tommy Lee Jones trying to protect this guy. And the boss wouldn't go for it. And, you know, he tried on numerous occasions to help him. And, you know, if Chris Cooper had been able to survive somehow, and he probably could have lived off what money he had to the point where he reached the, you know, the conclusion of the film where Tommy Lee Jones starts up his own company, you know, he probably would have done well there. But this short-sighted depression of I don't know what to do, it's actually very relevant to a lot of people who live their jobs. So, you know, it's just unfortunate. It gives one pause to think that really don't try not to let yourself feel that way, even at the worst times, that always there are ways to get out of it. Now, the Tommy Lee Jones character, on the other hand, I thought that was very interesting. He was over rich. I mean, the part that I thought was completely unbelievable was that he was having an affair with Maria Bello.
Yeah.
I thought, there's no way that this young, even for climbing up the ladder, that she was going to have an affair with this old, decrepit guy. Just made no sense whatsoever. You know, so, but it did make sense that he had enough money that he could go out on his own. And really, Craig T. Nelson was so blinded by grief. I mean, he was letting people go, not because they needed to be let go, but because
he would make more money than they did.
Yeah. He wasn't going to scrap that giant building that they were going to build that would have saved a lot of jobs. He was going to build it anyway. And this is the problem with corporate America. I thought it was incredibly insightful and very interesting. I wasn't bored by it at all. But you're mad.
No, I'm just saying, I was thinking about the whole Chris Cooper thing. I mean, I think I'm married to my job. I love my job. I never want to do anything else as long as I live.
Right.
And I mean, tomorrow if my job wasn't there, I don't know what I would do. I have not a clue.
Well, I'd like to think you wouldn't kill yourself.
I don't know. Like, I don't think I'd get to that point, but I think I'd be very upset and very troubled.
I think for at least a couple of weeks. Life goes on, you have to figure out what else to do.
Yeah, well, you're right. In that situation. I mean, you've changed jobs a few times since I've known you, but always in the
not
same
really.
Field. In the same field, though. I mean,
but,
you're always...
I haven't moved that far within the same area of University Avenue.
I know, but you're always doing something different every 3 years.
Yeah, but it's the nature of the work, is that it's nothing's permanent.
I know.
Right? But, you know, that's... It, you know, as I'm over that 40 hill... You start thinking, how long do I have here now, and what my future is going to be?
Well, and I think the way the Chris Cooper story played out is that, you know, him at his age is really not a hireable condition for a company that's looking, you know, yes, he has experience and knowledge, but if you're hiring...
You could say it comes down to contacts and who you know, but even if he tried that outlet... And
you know, exactly, but, you know, at, you know, the age he was, it's not a go for a new company or a different company.
He could have been a bagger at Walmart and lived, right?
Yeah.
And I guess not living was the better choice for him. I don't know. I don't agree with that selection.
Well, moving on. Where's
all right. Next movie on our list is... Dinner for Schmucks. And I think everybody except Debbie's seen that again.
That's right.
Sorry, Deb. We'll get to some you have in a minute. Directed by Jay Roach, stars Steve Carroll, Paul Rudd, Lucy Punch, Bruce Greenwood, Stephanie Zostak, Ron Livingston, Jack Galifianakis, Jermaine Clement, Christine Jeff Dunham, Octavia Spencer, anybody else? What's the guy's name from Flight of the Conchords?
Jermaine.
Okay, Jermaine Clement. So, okay, who wants to start this one?
Karen?
Yes.
Would you like to start?
Oh, I loved it!
Uh-oh, I lost Simon already.
Lost me too.
The first time I saw it, I just needed a movie that was going to make me laugh hysterically because it was so stupid, and I laughed. Yeah. And I liked it.
That's it. What did you like about it? Because explain it to me. Because I, again, try to decide which one put me to sleep faster, Dinner for Schmucks or Company Man. Actually, Company Man put me to sleep faster, but I can tell you why this one did.
Okay. I liked the quirkiness of the Steve Carell character. And, again, he's that loner guy that doesn't have a circle of friends, is very involved in what his hobby is, which is taxidermy with his mice. So, you know, there's that nerdy kind of person that we can all, you know, relate to, or at least we know someone that maybe reminded us of him. And he just wants a friend. He just wants to be one of the guys with a friend. And I can relate to that.
So you just want to be one of the guys with a friend? Is that the part you're related to?
You just want to feel connected and have a circle of friends. Or, you know...
Like Chris McDonald.
Like, after all, what's the point of building incredibly elaborate historical recreations of significant events starring taxidermy mice if you have no one to share it with?
We have no one to share it with. We have no one.
You have Lucy Punch.
No, Lucy Punch was obsessed with Paul Rudd.
I know, and you should have taken full advantage of that and got rid of Stephanie Slezak. Here you go.
Oh, Lucy Punch was just a little too much.
Yeah. Oh, she was hysterical in this again. I love Lucy Punch. I'm becoming bigger and bigger Lucy Punch fan than what I was doing.
Okay, then what did you not like about this? Did it not make you laugh? Did you not
I didn't find it. I found it very slow moving. I found it, the plot sort of dragged. I knew what was coming. As soon as he gets in the inner circle, he has to find a schmuck to bring to dinner. And I thought the robot guy was funnier. I thought the robot guy they showed when they think. I just thought it took too long to get to the redemption.
Now, what's interesting, though, is that this movie is apparently just an American English language remake of a French original that came out about 4 years ago.
Which was highly successful in France. Hugely popular.
So true,
but again, humor is one of those things that doesn't always translate well.
It translated for me. Bob, did you see it?
I did. Okay, yes.
Yes.
Sharon, I'm going to agree with you. Because I wanted something fun. It had its moments. It was a little slow. Not that slow. But it had its funny moments. I wanted something watched. I wanted something that was fun. And I got to... not commiserate, but... relate to Steve Carell's character, because he was a lonely guy. He had the mice. He was setting them up in little
dioramas,
and he wanted someone to share it with. And he wanted a friend, so that when Paul Rudd's character
almost kills him,
he says, "Oh, I've got a friend now." Little knowing that Paul Rudd later is going to,
kind of betray him.
Betray him, yes, and he finds out later that he does betray him, and that's sometimes what happens.
Anytime I almost hit somebody in my car that wouldn't be my friend, I'm getting a little concerned. Or if somebody tries to hit me with their car and I want to become... That's disturbing.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Okay. Anyway,
but this man had no friends. And he thought, like, he
did you like the little mics? Is that what...
It was cute.
They're holding hands.
He has a hobby.
And they're riding their bikes.
He has a hobby. Well, lots of us have hobbies.
But not even that. He also turned his own little story, life story, into a mice diorama because, you know, his wife cheated on him. And so you have the pathos for him.
Because he was a loser.
Be that as it may, he was still affected by it.
This was a piece of crap.
Thank you!
We're completely at different ends of the spectrum tonight. I watched this, I was looking for something fun to watch, and I saw Netflix had this, and it was on our list. And I watched it, and I regretted it the entire time, because this is not a likable movie. These are not likable people. The Steve Carell character is loathsome. He's not pathetic. He's an awful person. He's annoying, because... He doesn't,
I didn't say I wanted to be his friend. He takes Paul Rudd's
life, and he destroys it. So Paul Rudd feels bad about it, but... Just a minute. But he destroys his life. He destroys his marriage. He doesn't listen. He doesn't remember anybody's name. Maybe he's well-meaning in his idiocy, but... It's just not was not enjoyable to watch these people behave. The mice was interesting. The mice
the dead mice were interesting.
Were the only interesting thing about this film. And Jermaine Clement as the just out-of-control artist.
What?
That
would you
funny.
Like my art?
When they break into his apartment. And, you know, I don't know. Paul Rudd was just his usual non-offensive everyman.
Is he becoming Jason Bateman Jr.?
Kind of. He'll end up that way.
Like, he's already there. He's just Jason Bateman.
Anyway, sorry, Dan.
I wouldn't want to get into now.
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt you. I just was going to say, as you were just talking about this, this reminds me oddly of the Cable Guy. Like, completely deranged, loner individual tries to appropriate the life of the everyman edgeless hero.
Just not as dark. The Cable Guy was a lot darker.
Yeah.
I think this had more, you know, at least in Bob's opinion and mine, more laughs. Like, more, like, gut.
So, like, what was the douchebaggery of which you speak, though?
No, just, you know, he doesn't listen, he doesn't remember, and he's a klutz. He does, you know, there's a reason why, clearly a reason why people don't want to be around Stephen Carell's character, in that he destroys almost everything he touches, except mice, dead mice, which
but,
is a beautiful
but he does
way.
It in a very funny way.
My,
so
I didn't
was
find
funny
the character
movie.
Funny. I didn't find him even likable. I find Steve Carell's very hit or miss. The more he plays like, the more he acts like Steve Carell, the regular guy, he's better. But the more he acts with these quirky characters, it's just the same rehashed Steve Carell quirky character.
Well, I agree. I mean, he is hit and miss for me. It's not like I would say I've loved all of his movies. But this one was a 2 thumbs up for me and apparently Bob.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend this movie myself. But I guess neither would Simon. It's the worst, but you'd have to watch this sometime and then make a call.
Deb's too busy. She has a list of other films she needs to watch with her new haircut.
About 3 months ago, yeah.
See, you're such a great guy. You noticed she had a haircut. And I'm so awful, I didn't.
But I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
It's tomorrow, then.
Saturday's
there.
Yeah, I had to have my hair cut in 3.5 months.
Well, I haven't seen you in a while, so
but
I'm like different.
You're having your haircut then on Saturday before. Like,
this is not the Dev's Haircut podcast. This is extra features.
Oh, rats! I thought it was the Dev's
Haircut. Zach wants to know.
Zach needs to know. I've been talking
to
Zach. He's doing well. Hi, Zach.
Where are the letters?
No, Zach has sent a letter. I'm upset with him. I'm not. I'm going to have to berate him.
Oh, he's mad. I didn't call him when I was in Ottawa. Sorry.
Zach, you're neglecting us.
Zach's going to Walmart. Maybe he can find some movies for us.
That's right.
Go bin diving.
Bin diving
for the
Walmart.
Movies.
Come on, Canada's capital region's got to have some awesome DVDs in it somewhere. Find them for us, Zach.
Oh, we're talking about Ottawa, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, Canada, which is a suburb of Ottawa.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, talking about sequels and bin diving.
This one deserves a sequel.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. The Expendables, that I think, who hasn't seen it? Simon.
I didn't see it.
Oh, Karen hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen something Kevin doesn't have.
Far and Away. We're doing Far and Away again?
No. The Expendables, directed by Sylvester Stallone, starring Sylvester Stallone, with a cameo by Arnold. Steve Austin is in it. Jet Li, Bruce Willis has a cameo. Jason Statham, Eric Roberts, Dolph Lundgren, Randy Couture, Giselle IT, Charisma Carpenter, Mickey Rourke, and Terry Crews. Bob, you didn't see it?
I've seen it, but I didn't enjoy it. The only parts I did enjoy were the three of them get together. Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Sylvester Stallone. There was they were talking, and they said about on his way out. They said he's busy, and Arnold looks back and waits. That's about the only part of the movie I did.
No, he says he's one of these days he's going to run for president.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he looks back and waits, and that's.
It's always good to
but other than that, I for some reason I didn't enjoy it. I don't know why. You would think with all these characters, like Sylvester, Arnold, Steve Austin, Bruce Willis, I would. I did not.
I loved this movie. It was so wonderfully cheesy. I mean, it was like every cliche of the movies of the late 80s, early 90s, and it was beautiful. Just beautiful. And also Charisma Carpenter, great to see her after, like, I mean, I haven't seen her since, you know, the Buffy and Angel years.
Well, you know, she had to leave that show to have a movie career that never showed up.
But she did provide the excuse for Jason Statham to beat up a whole playground full of people really nicely.
Okay. I'm probably, I guess, anybody in this room, the biggest 80s action. You can't name an 80s action movie I have not seen. Because I've seen every Time Cop, every Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Last movie was the
Commando.
Biggest. I've seen all the, if there was more Commandos, I would have watched them. Saw Raw Deal. What a horrible movie. Like, I remember the 80s movies. They actually might have had a plot or a script other than blow up, save chick, go back, wipe out everybody. That was this whole movie. It was any 80s movie. I thought we were smarter now.
You know what, though? But that's just it. I think this movie willingly invites you to just, you know, this is not a movie about, you know, being clever. This is, like, you know, what's the line from Final Tap? There's a fine line between stupid and clever. I think this movie just stands right on that line.
Kat, would you say this? I want to hear your opinion.
Yes, I watched The Expendables. And apparently the explosions were just... We watched it together, actually, and there were explosions, and then we go, oh, that was just a beautiful explosion. And I thought, okay.
So did you like it?
Did I like The Expendables? Well, that's a tough question to answer.
So, no.
But in a nutshell, I would say, no, I did not enjoy The Expendables.
Okay.
I did not think it was very good. I did not find it watchable. I thought Sylvester Stallone looked freakish. And the plastic surgery, he looks weird.
No, Dolph Lundgren still cannot master the English language.
Dolph Lundgren is just a freak of nature. He is weird looking. And he can't act, you're right.
I can't understand one word that man said.
The Cabin Piece was his high point. The one with the flying DVDs that kill people.
Yeah, I missed Chun-Li, though.
No, you didn't like Universal Soldier?
No, I did not like Universal Soldier.
One, two, or three.
Like
I didn't like Rocky IV, no.
This movie's crap. Let's move along.
I thought this, you know what? Jet Li looked old and worn out.
He looked like 90.
Yeah, he just, he's not.
What happened to the Jet Li from Unleashed?
Wasn't that
You're a dog. Love that movie.
But the only person that was sort of true to his normal self was Jason Statham.
Well, he sucks all
the
time.
Who's basically the same character in every movie. He smiles in this one. It's unusual.
That is true.
Yes. He smiles, and it looked like he had fun. Mickey Rourke was tolerable.
Maybe he just
in
met
the background.
That his girlfriend. Maybe that's why he had a smile. He just didn't matter. Rose Huntington.
You know what? I didn't like this one.
You don't need to apologize for what you don't like, Kevin.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry if I let you down.
You
seem so excited.
Okay. We don't have to.
He seems so excited by it. But.
Because the explosions were so
pretty. I love Date Night. This is a great podcast with Kevin Dempsey.
All right. Well, is that it for the new movies?
No, Hangover, buddy.
Oh, The Hangover 2. Who's seen this one? Simon. You know what? No one else would subject themselves to.
I'm the only one saw Hangover 2.
Based on the reviews and the fact that nobody wanted to see this after they saw it the first time. So
yes.
This is basically The Hangover.
Yes.
Again.
In Thailand.
Yeah, 100%.
And did you enjoy it?
No.
Okay.
Then why what?
Never mind.
Well, that's a good thing for all the rest of us. We say he saved us.
You're talking about the only one that saw this movie.
Yes.
We all told you we didn't have
it. It was on my anticipated list for this year. Of course I was going to watch it.
Yeah.
So did they explain why the monkey's wearing a Rolling Stones jean vest?
No, but who cares? The monkey's at the best. Okay, remember the first movie, Zach Galifianakis gets them all roofies?
Yes.
Well, he pretty much does the same thing in two, so that's how the premise starts.
Good times.
And they're like, why does this all start again? There is nothing good. Paul Giamatti's good, isn't it?
What does he play in this movie?
He plays a drug dealer, and he's excellent. I mean, parts of this were funny, but I was getting to the point, like, I've already seen this. We've done this movie. You know what I mean? I felt really bad. Because I'm like, I've seen half these jokes in the first one. Now they just did a different play on the same joke.
Yeah.
I like the end of the movie that Mike Tyson came out and sang. That was kind of funny.
They rushed it to the theaters.
They did, you could tell.
To make the money on it.
But they did make money. They made $256 million.
I know, exactly.
So I'm getting a Hangover 3 for me.
If they make a Hangover 3, people are not going to rush in to see Hangover.
Hopefully not. They learned their lesson from this one. But this one's crappy. Skip it.
Yeah, we did. All right. That time of the show, Bob.
That time?
Oh. Crack it open.
Oh, there's Dobby.
Dobby's dead. He's buried in.
I know, but he's buried in the vault.
The ghost of Dobby.
No,
the ghost
Dobby.
Of Dobby.
Zombie Dobby wants your house.
Hey, Karen.
Yes.
What'd you think of Amelia? Directed by, starring Hilary Swank, Ewan McGregor, Richard Gere. Maya Wasikowska is in this?
Yes, she is.
I remember Christopher Eccleston, Joe Anderson, Cherry Jones. I met Cherry Jones. And Aaron Abrams.
Well, I tell you, Company Man didn't really put me to sleep, but obviously Dinner for Schmuck didn't, because I loved it. Amelia, nap time. What a piece of shit. It's appalling. Appalling, appalling, appalling.
You didn't enjoy the walk with Richard Gere, being the publisher of Doubleday?
Really didn't give a rat's ass, no.
Weren't she posing for the commercials?
You know, she did what she had to do to make money. She made a lot of money.
She flying around with the little chickies and her airplanes?
Yeah, whatever. I was expecting so much more from this movie. Like, I had anticipated it, thought it was going to be great. Even, you know, the Oscar, you know, pre-buzz was that this movie was going to be it. And it just fell from the sky.
Like the plane herself.
Like the plane, yes.
Kev, what did you think of this one?
Oh, it's kind of like Dev, dude.
Okay,
no,
Dev.
No.
I agree with you on this one. This was a snark last night. You know what? Hilary Swank does her best. She does an eerie recreation of Amelia Earhart. But I just maybe don't think she was that interesting in real life to warrant such a recreation. And I'll let Debbie get into why, you know.
What I was expecting, is sort of along the same lines of what you're saying, is I was expecting them to maybe delve in a little bit more to her pre-flying.
And
some of her history and see why she was so enamored with flying and sort of start with that so that we maybe understood her as a person better. And there was none of that there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got angry when I saw this movie because the overwhelming thing that came through to me in this movie, Amelia Earhart does not deserve to be a legend. She did not know how to use Morse code. She decided to go on a flight around the world, but she chose a route that exceeded the capacity of the plane that she had. And the fact that, I mean, if it just been herself that, you know, disappeared, I wouldn't be so upset. But, I mean, she took her innocent navigator with her. And there wasn't any scientific purpose to the flight. Why, like, they didn't really get into what made her tick. Like, she was almost compulsive.
Mike. Compulsive and wanted to break the record and be in the history book. That's really what it was. I think that's what was fueling her.
But did she want to be, did she do it because, just because she wanted to be famous?
I think it was a combination of she wanted to do it and it would make her famous. But then she was also really pushed by her husband because, you know,
I didn't see at all what kept them together as a couple. Like, at the end where she says, I love you. It's like, there was nothing before that
reason. It was a partnership. It was not a marriage. It was a partnership to make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I got out of it. Simon?
Don't you find Amelia Earhart wanted women to be recognized as pilots? That was her big thing, I thought, during the whole movie. They were driving that down your throat.
Yeah.
She wanted to be recognized as pilots on the same level as men. So it was a woman's rights thing, I think, for her.
It was. And then she succeeded in doing that because she had this gaggle of women that
flew with her.
The 99, yeah.
But she wanted to be the best woman. She wanted to be better than the man. That's why she took that flight.
And why didn't she learn Morse code? Why didn't she learn how to, you know, why didn't she do the very basic thing that any pilot, even at that early stage of aviation, would have done? Like the fact that they didn't have a backup system on the plane for communication. Like the fact that, you know, she took somebody. It just reminded me, remember when JFK Jr. Crashed with his wife and his wife's sister on board? Like, it's like that. It's like it was needless.
It was so unnecessary.
And it's also like the arrogance. It's like she was a gifted amateur. She was not really a trained pilot.
I have a question for you. JFK dies. I'm in Chicago at a comic convention. It's 5 in the morning because I can't sleep. I get up normally. So either I can watch the whole thing on CNN of JFK, or I can watch the Jennifer Love Hewitt movie with Seth Green. What choice do you think I made, Kevin?
Which movie? Oh, Can't Hardly Wait?
That's the movie. That's what I thought it was.
Oh, I watched that.
So that was my choice that morning, because on every channel they had the JFK thing, and then on one channel they had Can't Hardly Wait. So I watched Can't Hardly Wait.
The JFK story, it was sort of like the O.J. car chase, you know, you just couldn't turn away.
I've never seen it.
What?
I've never seen the O.J. car chase because I don't care.
Well, maybe it was called Far and Away Part 2. I think I'm awake.
Far and Away, the best car chase I've ever seen.
Zing.
Look, he's very, very gradually getting away.
Well, he did get away. They got off Scott Free and his friend Casey Anthony make all the white people out of it.
Alright, so I saw this movie months and months ago.
So did I.
And
I'm waiting for Bob.
I'd have to say I agree with the assessment of Amelia. As I said, the actress did a good job portraying her. But I think, again, yeah, I think it was I'm going to prove that I'm the best. Even better than, you know, the women can be pilots, that I'm a better pilot than all of them, that I'm a better pilot than everybody around, and I'm going to break records, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm driving to succeed. And, you know, and some of those goals were quite laudable. And I think breaking down the barrier between gender qualifications for industries and things like that. But on the other hand, by rushing to do that, by this driving ambition to be the leader, to be the success story.
The alpha dog.
Yeah, I think she ends up hurting more than helping. In that I think she probably set things back 20 to 30 years for female pilots. In fact, there aren't, when it comes to commercial airlines, I think there's a very small number of female pilots compared to male pilots, which is unusual these days because most things, there's a lot more equality, or at least there's a little bit more equality than there was, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Anyway, regardless, I think the relationship with Richard Gere was one of convenience and success. Although there was, the sense I got from the Gere character was that he did have a lot of affection for her. And then when she was gone, he experienced true loss. The Ewan McGregor character, he was like this boy that she was fascinated with. You know, anyway, I didn't think this was a particularly interesting movie. Nor is it one that I would recommend. And Oscar buzz is, I think it was just Hilary Swank picking whatever female role model she could find to make a movie about to try to win an Oscar. And it just didn't work. I think she did get nominated for this movie, didn't she?
No, it did.
Really?
It got no nominations. Fell flat.
Okay.
It was filmed here, too.
So,
yes.
Utterly forgettable film and should be forgotten. It's just, if you really were interested in Amelia Earhart, I guess you could watch this for a historical perspective. That's about it. So next movie on our list is Bednaws and Broomsticks, directed by Robert Stevenson. Not the same one that wrote Jekyll and Hyde, thankfully.
Thank you for clarifying
although
that.
Although we do have the two Bednaws and Broomsticks, Jekyll and Hyde.
Sorry,
Angela Lansbury.
Cut you off. Bob, did you have something to say about Roy Akushi?
No, no.
Bob, are you upset? Did you want
to
say something about
it? I just wanted to say
something.
You know,
we only talked about it for 20 minutes and you didn't say a word about
it.
Hey,
say it.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Then go ahead.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Then raise your hand.
All right. You have the conch.
All right. Actually, we didn't get Simon's opinion on it.
Let's continue.
Okay, so far we were 0-4. Let's make it 0-5 because I didn't like it. I was like, I am a fan of like historical references to Amelia Earhart. This movie didn't do it for me because I was waiting for more. As Karen said, there should have been more to the movie. There wasn't. So that's it. I didn't like it. So we're 0-5.
Okay. Bedknobs and Broomsticks, continue, Kev. All
right. Bedknobs and Broomsticks stars Angela Lansbury and David Tomlinson. Roddy McDowell, Sam Jaffe, Roy Snart, Cindy O'Callaghan, Reginald Owen, John Erickson, and Bernard Fox is not listed.
In the credits, really?
Really.
It's a big part of this movie.
IMDb wasn't there. I checked.
Simon, why don't you pick us up?
I'm going to quote my daughter on this one, because I'm trying to introduce her to live-action Disney, you know.
What was this movie so boring, Daddy?
That's exactly what she said to me. We started watching it. She was kind of into it in the beginning. And then we got to that 20-minute dance sequence in the marketplace. Yeah. And she's like, Daddy, do they ever stop dancing? Because this is boring.
Oh, sweetheart.
And I felt bad for her. And you know what? I'm like, she's right. This thing is way too long.
What did she think about the animated sequence?
She didn't care at that point. They killed her in the market. She was watching it pretty good up till the market, and then she just dropped. She's bored. Like, being four, when she gets bored, she leaves. Okay, I'm done. She's not like me. She won't finish it. She goes, okay, see you later. I'm done with you. Keep going. Mm-hmm. She hated it. Now, hey, you know what? I got to give credit. This movie stinks. It's just really dull.
Karen, you look distraught.
No. Because I know everybody is going to have the expectation that I'm just going to love it because I'm a Disney fanatic.
Wow, those Mickey Mouse sheets on your bed kind of give it away.
It was Alice in Wonderland.
Well, that was before the skid marks, I think.
You were never in my bed.
Ooh. Whoa.
Why is that?
Skid marks.
Yes. Sorry. I think I had too much sugar now.
That's a fact, Simon.
All right,
he's going into the bathroom anyway.
All right, so I'll talk now.
Yay.
You know, it's what I appreciate about this movie is that it was done in 1971 in the early stages of combining live action and animation. It followed in the footsteps of Mary Poppins, which was obviously a much more successful and favorable popular movie.
David Tomlinson was in both.
But what was interesting is that at the time that they had started making Mary Poppins at Disney, they were having trouble with Mary Travers releasing and approving certain things from the book to be added into the movie, and she was very... Did you have the Loch Ness Monster in your house, Kevin?
I don't know. Something escaped.
Dobby!
Dobby!
So anyways, as Mary Travers was being very difficult about giving consent for lots of things in Mary Poppins, which is why they started to make Bedknobs and Broomsticks and follow in the same tradition of what Mary Poppins was supposed to be, because they already had the rights secured from the novel. So I think that it was just a little bit of maybe following too much in Mary Poppins' footprints because of how they were making movies at that time.
And just as a general observation, like, this movie was made 5 years after Walt Disney passed away, and I think the Disney studios were really struggling because it had always been Walt Disney's show.
Right.
And without that guiding vision, I think they really struggled trying to find their way. And I would argue they didn't find it again until the late 80s.
Well, and again, movies as a whole were changing a lot. And
yeah, this movie is like 6 years before Star Wars.
6 years before Star Wars. And I think also what you have to look at is when it was made, the concept of, you know, a wartime story as a children's movie was I thought a little heavy-handed to be a children's movie.
Let's defeat Nazis with magic.
With magic, yeah. Because, you know, what child doesn't want to see that? So I think, you know, watching it as an adult, obviously you see things very differently in it.
Yes.
You know, the concept of magic, sure, I'm sure that's what was the hook for children. And it had these animated things, but the story was lost on children, really.
Because, like, I didn't understand the first time I saw that movie that the three kids, the kids were actually evacuees
right.
from the Blitz.
Right, exactly.
And they didn't really do a very good job of explaining that.
And if you don't have a background knowledge of World War II...
As many little kids would not have had...
You're
a whole lot closer to the war than we are.
You're clearly going to miss it. Clearly. Stomach upset again, Simon?
Be strong.
I vaguely remember this movie. I didn't watch it for the podcast to refresh my memory.
Shame on you. Bad Kevin.
Good Kevin.
I don't remember this being that interesting to me.
It isn't.
As a kid or an adult. And I do like a lot of I'll watch any Disney animated film any day of the week. They're all fantastic. Maybe a couple of the ones from the early 80s. Fox and the Hound is...
You didn't like the Black Cauldron?
Black Cauldron I've never seen.
Neither have I.
So it's something that you can add for a future podcast, I guess. But now, Roddy McDowall is a chimney sweeper in this one, if I remember correctly.
No, not
right?
this one. He's a priest.
Which is the one where it's...
Chimney Sweep? That's Mary Poppins, but he's not in that.
That's the one
with
Penis Man Lesbian is the Chimney Sweep, right?
Dick Van Dyke?
What did you just call him?
Penis Man Lesbian.
Oh, God.
So, that's how I remember his name.
It's a Family Guy joke.
No, it's a great joke.
okay.
Yeah. Let's wrap this up. Who cares?
Whatever.
Disney's cinema.
Forget it. Whatever. Oh, Bob wants to say something.
I definitely do. Ben
needs
the
to fight
says,
to get in here
what?
Early. He needs
a
fight.
Mom,
right that. Now. I don't know if Karen actually said she enjoyed it or what.
Enjoyable, not so much. I mean, I watched it. Again, you know, having seen it as a child, I did watch it again, but it just didn't keep my interest.
Would you see it as a historical curiosity?
Yes. Yes, I would. I think that would be a great analogy for it, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Bob.
Thank you. Okay, I remember seeing it back in the 70s when it was on, and I was a teenager at that time, a kid, and I watched it again for the podcast. It was good for its time. I still remember it being a good movie. I liked it. The scenes in the marketplace, which Simon's daughter left at, I actually enjoyed that. I enjoyed the mixture of cartoon and
it's because
animation.
They were dancing, right?
That's the one.
Okay.
Yes. And I like the songs. And in the extras, which I know Simon never watches as a rule, it showed David Tomlinson singing that song that was in the marketplace, and I remember him doing the same like. A similar job in Mary Poppins, which I guess we're going to do later on sometime. But he's got a good voice. But I really enjoyed it. Like it was good animation. It was good. That's all I'm going to say.
Nice.
Knobs.
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 I'm going to vote on this.
Better Off Dead.
Not
directed by
time.
Savage Steve Ballin.
Is the Savage mandatory?
Yes.
Savage.
Yes. Stars John Cusack, David Ogden Stiers, Curtis Armstrong, Kim Darby, Diane Franklin as Monique. Scooter Stevens, Linda Wiss from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Judge Reinhold's girlfriend in the movie. Daniel Schneider, who was in Head of the Class. Laura Waterbury, Yuji Okumoto. Inception and Vincent Schiavelli. Bob, kick us off. Don't get left.
Oh, I'd love to kick you off on this. Simon found a John Cusack movie I've never seen. I loved it. I wish I had seen this sooner.
Tell us about this movie.
Okay.
Give us a break.
I wish I could, but okay, John Cusack.
By the way, you owe me $2.
Yeah.
Why?
That's the big joke of the movie, the newspaper boy chasing.
$2!
Yes, he follows him everywhere, even on a ski hill. John Cusack, isn't he a sort of a loner in this or something?
Did you watch this?
Yes, I did. Because, okay, you don't want to know there's two parts I love.
Okay.
Kim Darby's character is his mother. She's totally clueless as his mother. I loved it. Especially the part, there's a part, and I'm going to spoil it, and I don't care. She's making dinner for him. She gets the dinner out and scoops it out and onto the plate, and it goes, nope. And David Ogden Spears is watching it go in there. And then John Cusack tries to eat it. He puts his fork into it, and it sort of goes off to the side. Then you see it. I love this part. It was going, it was trying to escape the table. Loved it.
Wow. Did you love that part?
I loved it. Yes, I did. I have to, and if I find this movie, I'm going to buy it. Recommending.
Wow. Wow, I haven't seen you that animated in a long time about a movie.
Somebody get that guy a Snickers.
I had one.
That's why.
Karen?
You know what? I haven't seen it.
Skip, Deb.
I haven't seen it either.
Skip, Kev.
Simon, what do you think of it?
I hated it.
Oh, you hated it, really?
That was kind of dumb. I liked the $2 guy kid. It was okay.
You know what? I remember seeing this and I liked it. But I think it was okay.
I thought the $2 was the best part. That kid asking for $2 all the time, everywhere he went, was kind of funny. Why did he try to hook up with the kid, girl across the street? Isn't that the whole plan of this movie? I can't remember.
I always mix this up to Say Anything.
No, it's not Say Anything. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, I can't remember. I just didn't like it. That was really boring. Because I watched this and Teen Witch right after one another, so they're kind of blending.
Teen Witch? He was trying to hook up with
another
wife.
That's a very generic title.
Robin Lively in it, and she's a teen witch. I gave it to you guys to watch.
Isn't that The Craft?
No, it's the one we call Teen Witch.
Yeah,
look it up. It's got Robin Lively.
Yeah, you want to be The Craft.
That's my. I just didn't like it. That's my. I can't remember. It's too long ago. Like a year ago, actually.
I know who you're thinking of, but it's Monique that tries to get to teach him this.
This movie's never shown up in anything you pass around.
Yeah,
there it is, Teen Witch, Robin Lively. But I've not seen it.
I hate you guys.
There was also a TV series called Teen Witch as well.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
So,
yes.
No, there was another one.
You know where it is? It's probably an entrance pile at home.
He has a foot-high pile of movies.
It's in there.
All right. Well, if anyone has a copy of Better Off Dead, I would like to see it just for...
It's here somewhere. Somebody has my copy.
For completest reasons, I would like to see this too.
Yes. So if the copy is floating around here somewhere,
right.
I would like to see it.
Now, who hasn't seen an excellent movie? The very dozen.
You have not seen it?
You haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it recently, so my memory may not be good. It's on TV all the time.
Directed by Robert Aldrich, stars Lee Marvin, Ernest Borgnine, Charles Bronson, George Kennedy, Trini Lopez, John Cassavetes, Telly Savalas, Donald Sutherland, and Clint Walker.
And Donald Sutherland starts movie role.
Oh, who gets to start this one off?
Deb, come on, we're not going to take this. It's you.
Oh, I love this movie with all my heart. It is so glorious. It has everything.
Did it have great explosions?
Yeah.
It's got ass-kicking explosions is what it's got.
Pretty ass-kicking.
Well, pre-CGI explosions, which meant if it's on the film... It really happened, which is, it's a treat to see something that's real instead of all CGI. Like, you see things happen, they're there. And great cast, great premise, like a suicide mission of, 12 army convicts who basically are facing life in jail and or the death penalty if they don't. And Lee Marvin as the coolest character in movie history.
Well, I think Deb said it all. Like, I like the part with Jim Brown supposed to be running, and they're filming Jim Brown running. I don't think the film could even keep up with him. Like, run. I'm like, Jim Brown's like the fastest running back of his time. Did you see Jim Brown dropping grenades, like, bolting across like he's an NFL football field? And I love Donald Sutherland getting gunned down. Like, he's outside gunning all the Germans.
Pinkley.
So good.
Oh, but Donald Sutherland's shining moment in this movie is when he impersonates the general.
Yes, that was hysterical.
Yeah, he's seen walking up and down, and he goes up to that soldier and he says, "Where are you from, son?" And the guy answers, and Donald Sutherland goes, "Never
heard of it."
No, I still like when they call him the Dirty Dozen. I still think when I was a kid and I saw this movie for the first time, that was my favorite scene, still is. We don't get any hot water, we're not going to shave. I love this movie, Kevin.
It was great. I had re-seen it recently and I loved it. I mean, what a great cast of characters. And
so good.
It's one that we've seen in repeated in other films where you take a misfit band of losers and you put them against the enemy. And they succeed because they think differently. You know, you don't put A versus A because you're going to end up in a stalemate. You have to take S versus A, you know, different types of personalities and see what happens. And this is just fantastic. I mean, every character in this is amazing. Lee Marvin is perfect as the guy in charge. Cassavetes is very good as the rebellious leader. I like this movie a lot.
Tony Savalas was great. Early Tony Savalas role, too.
Yeah, and it's weird because he plays an absolute psychopath.
I know.
He's the only one of the dozen that was actually, like, frightening.
Oh, yeah, he was awesome.
I know, but it's just because it's weird because I don't remember him as Kojak. So, like, my first introduction to Tony Savalas was this movie.
You don't remember Kojak?
I grew up in Montreal. Our French, our English language options were very limited.
Oh, Kojak, bang, bang. That's all really you needed to know.
I love it. I never watched Kojak yet. It was on, but I didn't watch it, and I never thought too much of it. I always thought Telly Savalas.
Who loves your baby?
Who loves your baby?
Lollipops.
Yeah. I'd rather watch White Puff on
Jack Horn. Jennifer Aniston's Godfather.
That is correct.
All right, so can't go wrong. Classic war movie, Dirty Dozen. Uncle Buck. Directed by John Hughes, stars Bob the Intern.
It does.
As Uncle Bob.
Uncle Bob.
You need a hat.
Uncle Melanoma.
John Candy, Macaulay Culkin, Gene Louise Kelly, Amy Madigan, Gabby Hoffman, Laurie Metcalf, Jay Underwood as Bud, Elaine Bronca, Garrett M. Brown, and William Wyndham. He's not Wisdom, he's Wyndham.
Bob, William Men or Karen?
Oh, gosh, I haven't seen this movie for forever, so...
Skip,
I'm sure it was awesome when you saw it.
It was funny. I mean, I chuckled.
It's amusing.
She has a pancake.
Big pancake.
Smoking a pancake.
Love the pancake. When Macaulay Culkin sees the pancakes, he's going,
I thought it was Bob-sized pancakes.
It could have been.
That's what kind of Bob likes.
Yeah.
Sick.
I have seen this movie over and over, and I just saw it recently again because I love this movie. It's one of my favorites.
Did you not own it?
Probably not.
It should be a Bob.
It's not in one of the Rubbermaid tubs of movies?
I don't remember.
No, it is a shipping container now, down by the dock.
Love his car. When he starts it, he knows exactly what's going to happen when he gets out of the car and stops it, and he goes... And he points at it when it's going to go boom, and he knows exactly what's going to happen. And I love every scene of that movie, especially with him. Tia, who's played by where'd she go? Jean Louise Kelly, and Jay Underwood. The scenes with him and Bug and the grill, great.
I thought the golf scene was the best.
The golf scene is good, too.
Golf scene's not my favorite. This movie sums up John Candy. Because I find the first half an hour is very slow.
Yeah.
Like, this movie takes a while to get going. You know, before he gets there, and he's talking to the girlfriend, it just takes a while.
But the setup is necessary to get to all the good stuff.
I'm not saying it's not necessary. It's a little long for me. I think they should have progressed it. I understand he's a bomb. Nobody likes him. I think they stated that early on, but we didn't need... I guess they needed a bit of the girlfriend stuff. But I just found it drag. But once it gets going, it does get going. But my favorite scene still, when he's at the door, and he's listening to the conversation, and she smacks the door open, and they shoot Candy. And you see the whole shot of John Candy going up, and John Candy coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Crack me up, because his facial expressions are great.
Mm-hmm.
And I find if you took John Candy out of this movie and put... I don't know, what's for that fat guy in the Drives Me Nuts that's in Zookeeper?
Kevin James,
it wouldn't work. No. That would be the remake of this, right?
Because John Candy has that sweetness to him.
Right, that Kevin James is missing. They keep trying to give me Kevin James as the new John Candy, and it's not working for me.
And I think it's because John Candy is just such a decent actor. It comes across in every role he plays, and you cut him a lot of slack because of it. And also the scene with the younger daughter's school principal.
That is classic.
It hasn't been that long since you've seen the movie every last.
Kevin?
It's a classic. It's a family classic. Right? You could watch this with anybody, and they would get a chuckle out of it. So, I mean, you know, it's funny. I don't own it, but I
can
see myself owning it.
You don't own it? Can't find it for $5 in the blue? Probably not.
Well, that wraps up our new releases. What did people buy since the last episode?
Oh, I have a stock, and I didn't bring it because I had too much to carry.
What did you buy?
Wing Commander, Four Feathers.
Which Four Feathers?
Heath Ledger. Soylent Green.
Ooh.
What?
I found a copy of Soylent Green on DVD.
Wow.
Soylent Green is evil.
Oh, that's why I had to see it. Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm trying
to
remember.
Did you have the time of your life?
I did. With you, Kevin. With you.
And I've never felt that way again.
Yeah, I can't remember what else.
Well, in 2012, that movie's having its 25th anniversary.
Remake.
I'm not ready.
They're having a remake. Go ahead now. What did you buy? This is what I want to talk about, something you bought. So go ahead.
What else did you buy?
I can't remember. That's all I remember. All
right, Karen, did you
buy anything? Oh, Phantom of the Opera. Jared Butler.
Karen, did you buy anything?
No, wallet is empty.
Bob bought two things.
I bought two things. Inception and Hitch.
I liked Hitch.
I loved Hitch.
Okay, that's an interesting duo of movies. Like, Inception is, like, you know, a great pick, but what made you go for Hitch?
I liked it. Like, I like I don't know about the premise, but I like the whole story as a whole. I like the actors. Actually, another one I saw that I wanted to buy was EZA, and I saw it at Shoppers Drug Mart plug for a price that I could get, a price that was reasonable, but I didn't buy it.
Why?
Oh,
the glasses are coming out.
The wallet was empty. By that time,
speaking of Emma Stone, before Kevin starts, I was scrolling today at a website. It had Emma Stone from Searching for the Next Partridge Family Member. I found it, and there's a YouTube clip of Emma Stone at 16 singing "We Built This City on Rock and Roll." I'm dedicating Emma Stone. Please don't ever sing again.
We built this city.
I'm not joking. I'll tell you what it is. Actually, I'll tell everybody. Just go to YouTube, type in Emma Stone, Partridge Family. It'll come up.
Okay.
All right, Kevin.
Cool. All right. What did I buy? Well,
what didn't you buy?
Starting with the Top Shelf. I bought Californication Season 3. I bought Limitless.
Ooh, excellent.
Your Highness.
Ooh, oh, that's what I want to talk about.
Jumanji.
Ooh.
Unknown.
Seen it.
Seen it. Loved it.
I bought The Next 3 Days.
Seen it.
Priest.
Seen it.
Kiss Me Deadly. On Criterion.
I was going to say that's the new Criterion one.
Yep.
Ooh.
Criterion. I bought Batman the Brave and the Bold Season 2 Part 1.
Seen it.
I bought... there's more. Somebody gave me Being There... and Room with a View.
Ooh.
I had Room with a View, and then I sold it, and then somebody gave me another one.
Room with a View.
Is it Blu-ray or regular?
Blu-ray.
another one.
Caught
Simon.
A Room with a View?
Either a Room with a View or
anything else here? I'm sure there's more.
Okay.
I got The Sweet Smell of Success. On Criterion. That's Tony Curtis and Lancaster.
I think I saw a long time ago.
No, that's lipstick.
I bought Hall Pass. God knows why.
Did you buy Paul?
I bought Paul.
Oh, Paul. I bought Paul.
Paul, yes, I bought Paul. I bought... God, that has to be it.
That's
I mean,
why
I'm talking
about it. Have you watched Your Highness yet?
I have.
I can't wait till we get to that show.
I'm going to enjoy reviewing it. I've seen it twice now. Oh, and I bought Dexter Season 5, which is good. Looking forward to watching
it. You watched Your Highness twice?
Yeah, I watched
it. And you can still see?
I can.
You sure?
I didn't even use the scented oils my father gave me. Oh, just go with it. Just go with it. I got that one as well.
We got to do this more often. Kevin's catching up.
Wow, I know exactly. I won't have that many things to talk about next time. It's
well,
been
it might be a while until we meet again, so maybe you will.
It's been a while. Somebody gave me the Safe for Work Spider-Man XXX DVD.
What?
At the con. At San Diego. Someone gave me, it's about 5 minutes long.
Oh,
it's like the movie with all of the sex scenes cut out of it.
Oh.
So it's like 5 minutes. And the projection value is actually pretty good.
Oh, okay.
So, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's not very good.
Is that it, Kevin?
Oh, the Expendables. We got the Expendables
as
well.
I'm wrapping this up.
I think,
good night.
I think that's pretty
I'm
much
Simon.
It for now.
Bob Beaver.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Gary.
And I'm Jeff.
And if they make it,
you'll watch it.
Because Simon forces us to.